It's time for WHTC Money Matters with Kerry Cooley and Jack Godfrey from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group of Zealand. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, members FINRA and SIPC. Now that we got the legal stuff out of the way, here are the guys cooler than the paid-off mortgage. Your hosts of WHTC Money Matters, Kerry Cooley and Jack Godfrey.
Good morning, Holland Zealand. This is Kerry Cooley.
And this is Jack Godfrey. Hey, Kerry and I are recording a show for August the 2nd. We're both gone this weekend. Want to make sure that you know that this show is being brought to you by Mary Jo Borman, Borman Law Offices. Mary Jo is an estate planning attorney located in our building at 123 East Main in downtown Zealand. You can contact her at 616-772-2487 or visit her website at www.bormanlaw.com. That's BOEMANLAW.com. So, hey, Kerry, great show today. It's pre-recorded August 2nd. We're going to talk about rollover warnings. Some of the people get a little bit confused on taxation, the rules, 60 days. So we'll go over that later in the show. But first of all, we usually go through by the numbers because this is pre-recorded. A week ahead of time, numbers are probably not relevant today. But we'll be back live. You'll be back live.
You're saying I'll be back live?
Well, I think you'll be back live with Mary Jo in a couple weeks.
Okay.
And maybe I'll be there.
All right.
I'll be gone to San Diego.
All right. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, listeners, you know, we thank you for writing your questions throughout the time. And our questions this week, we have three questions that we've chosen from listeners that have written in and emailed in. And Jack, how can they reach out to us if they have a question?
Well, they can always call us. I mean, that's the best thing. You know, I'm not an email person. I do get a lot of emails, but I mean, it's always good to just call us. You got to catch us, you know, stay on hold. We'll answer the phone. Our phone number at our office, 616-931-1223. Kerry's extension 2. I'm extension 3. Call us. We'll pick up the phone. I usually pick up every call that comes in. And, you know, we'll answer your questions. We'll call you back. We'll look up stuff and give you a call. Or if you want to go to our website is www.cooleygodfrey.com, K-O-E-L-E-G-O-D-F-R-E-Y.com. Email us at cooleygodfrey@lpl.com. Or you can hit extension 4, 616-931-1223. Get Janet at extension 4. And she is definitely better at emailing us.
Yeah, and what she does is that if we're not in, she'll set up a time that we will call on the person that has called in. So thanks again. Hey, first question here, Jack. The listener writes in, I am thinking about moving to a different broker. Do you offer an account where you can just take care of it for me? I don't want to have to worry about it and pay attention to it. Would just like to have someone manage it for me and make some money.
Well, that's a pretty big question. I mean, it's got to be what their age is, what their goals are. Are they putting money in? Are they just going to do one thing? That's a big question. Can we manage it? Absolutely, we can manage it. But we're going to need, you know, I've been working on a case for the past two or three days here. I mean, they have $1 million coming in 2 weeks. So, you know, one of the things that I've been working on for probably a year now is the income they're going to need in retirement. So, you know, tonight's meeting that I'm going to meet with them is just about their budget and the amount of income they need. So managing money is more than just buying a few funds, letting it ride. It's managing their expectations, managing the account in terms of expectations for growth. So there's a lot of stuff, you know, we can manage it for them, but you got to give us the parameters, the rules. When do you need the money? Is this money never money, sometimes money? It's a large task. So, you know, we can manage your money, but you're going to have to belly up to the table here and give us a lot of parameters.
Oh, absolutely. There's a confidential financial questionnaire that's available online, but we go through all the questions. They're as basic as name and birth date to what you're going to get for Social Security. Do you have a will and trust? Not that we do wills and trusts, but we want to make sure that you have your legal affairs in order in case something happens to you and you pass this money on? Is it going to pass on the right way? Do you have life insurance? Where are all your investments located at? Children, grandchildren involved in this. And it's really more of the first number of meetings is more gathering information and taking this information and laying out a roadmap to meet the goals of this individual or couple or family to make sure that it's meeting their goals. So, yeah, it's pretty easy to change a broker, you know, to answer one thing in that question, you know about changing a broker. That's very easy. You don't have to sell anything. Usually everything can be transferred as is to your new brokerage firm, and then it can be rebalanced, adjusted, because a lot of times we see good stuff in a portfolio, and we're going to tell you that. If there's not so good stuff, we're going to be recommending to moving things around. So, yeah, we do offer an account that is a managed account. Is it just it's hands-off for the client? But it is hands-on for Jack and I, where we are actively looking at the investments in the account. Is it meeting the client's goals? Is it meeting what they want to accomplish and maintain their standard of living going into retirement? Do they have a pension? What's their Social Security? When to take Social Security? So Jack's right. You know, I agree with you, Jack. There are so many questions here. But the managed account really frees up the individual from managing the assets. We do it for them.
Well, you know, there's a bigger question that people, you know, I've had two this week. People call in and say, you know, I'm really happy with my returns, but I don't like my broker. What do you think? And I go, well, if you don't like your broker, some people like their broker better than they like their money. If that's the case, stay with your broker. Other people like the returns, don't like the broker. So then I ask them, well, what's your strategy? They don't know what their strategy is. So it's, you know, backing another way into that question. So we're going to come back. Hold that thought, because I think this is important that people know this. So we're going to take a break, our first break of the day. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. We'll be right back. This is Jack Godfrey.
And Kerry Cooley. Welcome back, listeners. You've been listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley.
And this is Jack Godfrey. Today's show, August 2nd, pre-recorded. When we left before break, we were talking about people calling in. And, you know, I was just saying before the break there, it's, you know, people, I had two calls this week that said, you know, what can you do for me? What's your fees? What do you do? And, you know, it's I could talk for an hour on what we do. But, you know, they say, you know, I'm really in a quandary. I really don't like my broker. But what can you do? And I go, that's just a large question here. You know, what's your risk? Where are you at? You know, what's your alpha needs? You know, how much, what's your return like? You know, people are just happy with their returns right now, but I don't think they understand what risk tolerance they could be in. And do I think the market is overvalued? No. Do I think things are going to still continue? Yes. But that still doesn't mean what's your asset allocation.
You know, talking about that, Jack, it brings up a story. A mutual friend of mine, his parents are with an advisor, and over this past year, as everybody pretty much made money in the market, but this couple, his parents are in their mid-70s, had 90 to 95% of it in equities in the stock market, and, you know, we talked about that for a while. There was a big risk being taken there, and so he is realigning their parents' portfolio, and yeah, this person looks great, the advisor looks great for the past year, but how is that account going to act in a down market? And, you know, at this age, it's about preserving principal, getting income off of it, not having the big swings in the market like in 2008. So, you know, Jack brings up a great point that both him and I look at is, what is the risk that you're willing to take with this money? What's your time horizon? When do you need this money? Is so, so important. So that, you know, that question that was asked, Jack, that's a loaded question, a lot of things. But we hope that the answer just spurs some more thoughts and helps people say, well, you know, where's my portfolio at? How is it doing?
Yeah, I mean, you got to go back to the original question. The original question is, can you manage the money for me and just handle it? I'm tired. I don't want to handle it. Back to your, you know, analysis there in a 90-year-old, we have to determine whose risk should we take, your risk at 90 or your beneficiary's risk, who could be in their mid-60s, early 70s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So lots of times we have something that has a very low cost basis, and typically at 90, you're ran out of your IRA funds, and you're just going off your trust or your non-qualified account. And I always ask these people, we're going to ramp up the risk here because you're not taking income. You don't need income. You're not spending any income. So we're going to assume that you're taking on the risk of your children. And some people so choose to bypass their children because they have a ton of money and go right to the grandchildren. So then we're aggressive. Mm-hmm. We can be real aggressive mm-hmm. with this because they don't need the money.
Yeah.
So you really got to take whose risk tolerance, and you'd be surprised some of the 80-year-olds or older, the risk tolerance is all fixed income. And they don't need the income. So I go, why are you here? Well, it's safe. I go, well, I understand that, but you've just paid a lot of insurance to have your money safe when your risk tolerance is somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to understand, do you need the income? How much income? How much do you want to pass on and take on the risk tolerance? Which goes to the next question we have is, I just started my new job and they are offering a 401k with a match. How do I decide on which funds? Well, we get a lot of those calls.
Yeah, we do. And, first of all, that the company that you're with in this question is, it's great that they're offering a 401k. Second thing is, they're willing to match. So what we are telling our clients in a case like this, that's free money that's sitting out there that the company's willing to put in, but they don't have to put anything in unless you put some in. So you want to put enough of your income in, it may be 2-3%, and the company will match you. That's free money. Now, what investments do you put in? What funds or mutual funds do you choose to put in? Really depends on the risk. As Jack mentioned earlier with the previous question, is what is the risk that you're willing to take on this money? And we can help people look at their choices that they have in this case, as far as mutual funds, and help come up with a strategy for them. But it's still up to that individual to go out and do this online themselves or fill out the forms themselves and do all this. So a lot of times a 401k is going to have a lot of different investment choices. They'll usually have a group of funds in there that are retirement ready or advantage funds or asset allocation.
Lifestyle funds.
There's a lot of different names for them. But it's a fund that has everything in one, and it gets more conservative as you get older. That could be an easy way to go here. But again, you talk to somebody and sit down with them and figure out, where does this fit in my financial plan?
So, another long-winded answer to that is, what is your risk tolerance? I mean, we look at people that are aggressive, growth in income, income with moderate growth, income with capital preservation, and really fixed income. So where do you fit? And most younger people fit in the aggressive growth, which is 80 to 90% equities, the rest in some type of fixed product. So from there, we want you to pick large cap, small cap, mid cap, large foreign, emerging markets, fixed income, maybe a high yield, maybe a foreign bond, and then real estate if you got one, maybe an alternative with natural resources if you got it, technology if you have it, and completely, look at your portfolio. A lot of people, they just pick it with what it did last year, mm-hmm. and they might just pick all large cap.
Yeah,
that's what they typically pick. And some of the help that you can do online by yourself is go to your existing broker and ask them, what is my risk tolerance? Where am I with my other funds? Can I complement? Sometimes we do load up on their 401k in one or two funds because it complements what they have, and it's really a good fund. So sometimes we do that. You can go to Morningstar.com. They can help you do the analysis. You can go to Yahoo Finance. That'll help you do some analysis. You can go to Google Finance. That's another GoogleFinance.com. Those are some assets that you can have to help you with your 401k.
Yeah. Let's take a look. We have one more question here, Jack. The question is, I am wanting to give some money yearly to my grandkids. They are all over age of 16. I really like the Roth account. Can I just open a Roth account for them and still have control over it? If not, what other type of account do you recommend?
Yes, no, and yes. No, I mean, it's. I just convinced a customer who, geez, I've been working on for 5 or 6 years. This person has a lot of money, not spending any of it. And I said, I'm just hounding her to say, we need to start, distributing this money. And I said, we're not going to erode your principal, but let's just take this $60,000. We're going to get actually 6% on this. That's $3,600 a year. And we're going to strip money off of this. And we're going to just use that income every month, because it comes in monthly, and give that to 5 grandchildren. We're going to split it up evenly, divide by 5, and give it to 5 grandchildren. And she's finally relented into doing that, mm-hmm. which she now gets it after 5 years of really showing her the advantages. It's like people who do not get giving highly appreciated stock to be philanthropic, to the church, to Goodwill, whatever it is. Once people get it, then they think that they've just invented something.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes a while for people to understand. So, back to the original, we like Roth. For smaller kids, we like 529 or UGMA accounts. UGMA account, you can control it until they're 18. 529, you can control it forever. But when you do it a Roth account, there's beneficiaries. You can't control that.
Yeah. And, when you think of it, another way to set up a Roth for your grandkids is think of it in this way. You could set up a Roth in your name, and instead of putting your kids, you can put the grandkids as the beneficiary on it. You could take some of an old IRA, convert it to Roth if you don't have a Roth. So that's another way. And there's a few more thoughts that we should give comment on that question, Jack. But we also need to take a short break here and let our listeners know that, this show is being brought to you by Borman Law Offices. And, one of the questions that Mary Jo wants you to think about is, have you ever had your will updated lately? If you have recently been married or divorced, if you have had children, sent children off to college, or children are now grown, you may need to update your will or trust. Mary Jo Borman will review the existing will and help you make changes that need to be made. So contact Mary Jo Borman at 772-2487, and that's area code 616. So she can help you with your estate planning needs. Listeners, you're listening to WHTC Money Matters. We'll be back right after the break. This is Kerry Cooley
and Jack Godfrey.
Welcome back, listeners. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is your host, Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey. Today's show is August the 2nd. It's pre-recorded. Kerry and I are both off this weekend. The show that we're going to be on here in just a second is rollover, IRA rollover warnings. But we're just going to go back to that question a second about giving money to grandkids. And one of the things that working with Mary Jo, the attorney in our office, is a lot of people, and we sit around the conference table and just strategize, because lots of times people do not give anything to the grandkids. It's not that they don't want to. They just don't know how to. So, they concentrate lots of times on their kids, and their kids usually have a lot of money. And then, well, we'll just let our kids give the grandchildren something. Well, that's just not going to work out. So, we have lots of grandparents giving money to their kids in their Roth accounts, in their 529s, in their UGMA accounts. And then I suggest to them, okay, let's just take $100,000 and we're going to keep that in your trust account, and we're going to have your trustee manage that, and we're going to continue to give grandkids money into the Roth account until that $100,000 is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can earn 6% on that $100,000, that's $6,000 a year, $500 a month. It's really worked out well. So it's a strategy that we give people ideas of how to pass on money, and that's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big thing.
Well, I know the other part of the question is, if the grandparent wants to maintain control of it and gives it to the children in the form of a Roth and puts this money, the children first need to have earned income to put money into a Roth of their own. So that's a stipulation there, and it's in the child's name or the young adult's name, and it's not controlled by the grandparent anymore. So control, if that's really an issue for this person, is you can set up the 529 plan, which is a college type plan, and you put money into it, and the grandparent or parent can maintain control of it with the child as a beneficiary of the money. So that's a control thing, but the beauty of the Roth, Jack, if it makes sense, it may be a good thing to have them as beneficiaries on some of this Roth money out there, and they get this, and they can take it out tax-free in the future. So there's a lot of different things. So everybody here, you know, is unique as far as how to go about this. It depends on how you feel about your grandkids. Are they deserving of it or not deserving? You know, maybe that's something that you need to sit down with, like a Mary Jo Borman, and write up your will and trust and make sure it's written in there how you want it to pass on.
Well, one thing, you know, again, I have a lot of people that put money into grandkids and existing kids, Ross, lots of money, lots of customers. And I remind them, you know, and I have the kids in a meeting. And I said, first of all, grandma is going to be giving you money every month into your account. However, if you think this is going to be a savings account, and as soon as we find this out, grandma is stopping putting money into your account, she's going to give your portion to the rest of the grandkids. This is not a savings account. This is a retirement account. And I am usually very successful reminding them of this meeting. This is not for you to take out to pay for college loans, to buy a car. This is for retirement. If you tell them that up front, they usually know what the rules are.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma's not putting any more money in there.
Yeah.
If they get that rule, it goes out pretty good.
Yeah. 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 No, that's a good way. And the other thing behind that is having family meetings, you know, having grandpa and grandma, having the kids and having the grandkids all sit around a kitchen table or sit around our conference room table, just passing on the values of grandpa and grandma to the grandchildren. And the grandchildren don't need to necessarily know how much money grandpa and grandma have or how much they're going to get, but teach them about the value of money and what this could mean for them down the road is really a neat way to pass on things. And we're willing to be the bad cop in this situation and lay out a strategy, and the kids could blame us.
Yeah, I'm just meeting with a 22-year-old in South Haven, longtime customer. Grandpa left her $150,000. And we're stripping off about 5% of that, putting, because she's actually out of college working. So we're putting her $5,500, stripping off the income of that, and putting that into a Roth every year. And I just ran a hypothetical for her. So she's got $22,000 in a Roth, and she's 22. Grandpa has funded all of this so far.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ran a hypothetical saying, okay, 10% is the long-term average, because she's going to work probably another 40 years. I ran it at 10%, putting in $5,500 for that period of time, and is up with $5
million. Wow.
$5
million. That's huge.
Well, that's a lot of money just with $150. And she's not killing the $150 because we're just stripping off income.
Mm-hmm.
So that little cash cow is giving her all that money. So you think if you can retire and have $5 million that grandpa gave to you, that's impactful.
Mm-hmm.
But if you spend that along the way, you have nothing.
Yeah.
You have nothing.
Yep. And then it can continue on to the next generation. So great questions, listeners. Thank you for writing them in. We're going to talk now about what we have titled the program, Rollover Warnings. And what we're talking about is when you leave an employer and roll assets from a 401k into an IRA, how often can you move this money and the rules behind it? And there's been some recent changes that have just happened, and we keep up on those changes.
Well, let's just talk about that word rollover. There's sometimes rollover, there's transfers. So let's just talk about a rollover. Rollover is typically when you take it from a employee retirement plan. That'd be 403B, 457, 401, simple 401K, SEP, etc. And you're rolling that to make it really your money into a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA. That is really the definition of a direct rollover. Not a taxable situation. Nobody's involved. The next check's made out to the new trustee. Things okay.
Mm-hmm.
That is a rollover. The next one would be a trustee-to-trustee transfer. That means you're taking it from one firm and you're transferring it in kind, ACATing that, to another firm.
And that's called a transfer.
That's called a transfer. The next one is a 60-day rollover. A 60-day rollover is where you get the check in your hand. A 60-day rollover is where you actually get the check, and you must deposit that within 60 days. And a lot of people ask us, well, Jack, what about the taxes? Are you sure you can do this? Heck, we've been doing this for 20 years. We do this every day. So we take money, roll it over, no taxes involved, trustee to trustee transfer, because people think that if you're taking it from one brokerage firm to the next brokerage firm, our firm, somehow they get confused, it's going to be taxed. Only time it's going to be taxed is if you get a check and you screw up. That's really where it's going to be taxed. You do not want it, the check, to be made out to you individually. You want it to be made out to the next trustee.
Yeah.
Made out to the next trustee.
And if you haven't made out to you, they automatically withhold 20%.
Yeah, it's kind of an ugly thing. So those are some of the rules we're going to talk about today. So if you do it right, and most people do, but we have this question every week, is, will this cause a taxation problem? And we say no. And they always ask, well, how can that be? Well, it's a rollover, a trustee-to-trustee transfer, it's called a 60-day rollover. Now, where people get themselves in problems, Carrie, is where?
Well, you know, in how many transfers that they do in a year, or not getting it back in the account within the 60 days.
Yeah, well, let's just talk about that again. So if you do a transfer, you do as many transfers as you want. You can transfer to where we clear from, LPL. You can transfer to LPL to Merrill Lynch. You can go from Merrill Lynch to UBS, Payne Weber. You can go from there to Ameriprise. There's the trustee. You can move it to different brokerage firms. That's not a rollover. Where it was actually a case, and maybe you got that in your notes there, Carrie.
I do.
Actually, a case, and maybe we ought to go through that case a second.
Should I read the case dynamics here?
Yeah, let's read the case dynamics, because people need to get this.
Okay, so there's two people out there, Alvin and Elisa.
These are real people,
and they're married, and they held multiple accounts with their broker dealer of Fidelity Investments. So Alvin had two IRAs, and she had one. And now on April 14th of the year of 2008, Alvin withdrew $65,064 from one of his IRAs. And then on June 6th of 2008, so we have April, May, June, he withdrew $65,064 from his other IRA. So he really took out over $130,000 is what he did, but he took the same amount out of both IRAs. Then on June 10, 2008, so 4 days later, Alvin used that money in an attempt to complete a rollover of his first IRA distribution. Okay. And then on July 31st of 2008, Elisa withdrew $65,064 from her IRA. So now notice, all the amounts are the same. They're coming out of different, you know, three different IRAs. Two are his, one is hers. The money was used in an attempt to complete a rollover of Alvin's second IRA distribution. Finally, on September 30th, 40 was moved from a non-IRA account to Mrs.'s IRA.
So what they're doing is they have advantage of this money ongoing. They have use of this money,
yep.
And they're just trying to game it, if that's the term, game it, move from here, take it out, move from another one, take it out. So you really got use of $65,000, which then you could put that into a investment account or a bond account getting 4, 5, 6%, and nobody knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So the way the rule used to be is you can do that. As long as you get it back in 60 days, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But this is actually a ruling that went on, a court ruling. They said, now the court said, what are you doing here? So what the court decided to do was they said you could only do one rollover in a 60-day period.
So that means he could do one and she could do one.
Just one, right.
Just one each.
One each.
Yep.
So you could game a little bit there by him taking it out first. She's going to do this day 50, and then he's going to use her money to repay his. So you could, I suppose, do that into a particular situation and use it that way. But again, you can only do these rollovers because we just had two people do it this month.
Yeah.
Both of these people were buying houses. And if there's no doubt, we're putting them back in 60 days.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to 60 days. Now, let's talk about that 60-day rule, but we're going to be right back after our short break. Listeners, you're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Carrie Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey.
Welcome back, listeners. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey. One of the topics that we have today we're talking about is sometimes a misunderstanding, rules, the warnings on rolling over your IRA to another IRA. A rollover means you've taken the money out and you're putting it back in. Another definition of rollover is where you're taking your qualified employer plan and rolling that into your plan, into your IRA. So you can do that with as many employers as you have. And we've had people that have had three or four employers, and they can do them all.
Mm-hmm.
It's not talking about that. It's really talking about where you're taking money out of existing IRA at a particular brokerage firm.
Well, and what's interesting about this recent change in the ruling, the IRS, had the rule written that you could do as many as you want. But when the IRS looked at what, in this case that I shared about Alvin and Elisa, that how they went about it was really what we call abusing the system. So the court came with this matter with the IRS, and they voted in favor of the IRS against the couple in this case. You know, the couple claimed that all their IRA distributions were successfully rolled over in their entirety. But the IRS claimed that only one was really a rollover was successfully done. The court agreed with the IRS that only one of the rollovers was successful, but arrived at the decision using a different, the couple here arrived at a different decision based on their logic. So they thought they had moved the money around, and it does. I mean, if you read the IRS rule, and I was looking for that rule, what it says here, and I'll find it here in a little bit, but the IRS they said you can't do this, one per year.
So let's talk about where this rule does not apply to. And this begins January 1st of this year. January 1st of 2015, this rule goes into effect. And for those people just tuning in, we're talking about rolling it over. When you take the money out of an account, again, I had two do it this week, where people are taking money out to buy a house, their house closes, they're putting it back in, and they're timing this where they're going to do it before that 60-day period. Now, we tell people, it's on your watch. It's your watch. We're not going to hawk you on day 50 through 60 and say, put the money back in. We can't do that. And we had one customer that missed it. And he remembered us telling him, it's on you, not on us. And so, you know, then he had tax and penalty because he was under 59 and a half. So it was a big blow up. And he knew the rules. So now it comes down to, again, we're talking about where you actually take possession of the money, and you can put it back in if you do that within 60-day period. Now, here's where it doesn't apply. It doesn't apply from rollovers from traditional IRAs to Roth. That means that's a conversion. That's a conversion. It doesn't apply to trustee transfer. So you can do many of those. Merrill Lynch to LPL, LPL to Ameriprise, Ameriprise to somebody else. I don't know why anybody do that, but you can do as many trustee to trustee transfers as you want. It doesn't apply to IRA to plan rollovers. That means you're taking your IRA and you're rolling it into your company's plan.
401k plan.
401k
yep.
plan. Now, there's some advantages to doing that, IRA to 401k plan, especially if you're like Kerry and I, where we own the company.
Mm-hmm.
Because then there's some things you can do. You can't borrow from your IRA, but you can borrow from your 401k. Now, we're not talking about IRA borrowing, which that 60-day rule allows people to do. We're talking actually 401k borrowing. So you can go from an IRA to a 401k, borrow the money, take it out back from your 401k, roll it back to your IRA. So there's still some loopholes there if you so choose to work the system. Now, if you go to your 401k, you want to make sure that you have a plan document to allow for withdrawals for loans. And typically, you only can do one loan at a time. So there's some things there. Also, you can do plan to IRA. So IRA to plan to IRA, you can go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no limit on that, which is kind of the same system. Or you can go plan to plan.
Yeah.
Plan to plan.
Yep. Well, and really what in this case of this court case that we talked about, you know, the couple is really trying to take advantage of the 60-day rollover rule, and repeat by repeatedly moving, you know, the IRA funds in and out of accounts. You know, basically they're gaming the system, and so they're artificially creating a longer than a 60-day rollover period. So I can see in that case why the IRS and the courts ruled against them and said you can't do this. So there's a lot of things that you have to be careful of when rolling money over. You can move money from a 401k to an IRA, and as long as that money came originally from a 401k, you can move that into your new company's 401k plan. And then, like Jack said, you can borrow against it. And if that's a great way to maybe borrow money of your own without withdrawing it from the IRA or the 401k, because if you do draw that out and don't put it back in, there is not only taxes, there may be a 10% penalty on it if you're under age 60. So those are all things you need to be aware of as you go through this process, and you need to think, okay, what's going to work for me? What's the best strategy that's going to work for me as an investor?
Well, and here's another little bit of a caveat that people don't understand is you can't roll over from one IRA to another one if it's your RMD. Let's just say you're supposed to take out $1,000 for a required minimum distribution after you receive the age of 70 and a half. If you do that, that doesn't count. So if you're moving from one IRA to another one, well, that just counts as my RMD because I'm doing a trustee-to-trustee transfer. That does not work. You must take your distribution out of, you look at all your IRAs, December 31st balance the previous year, that's where your RMD comes from. It doesn't count. So RMD can be taken in kind, though. We have a lot of situations where people do not need the money. They like a particular stock. They like a particular mutual fund. They like the particular master limited partnership or whatever, or annuity. And you can, you know, annuity is one you have to take in cash, but all the rest of those you can take in kind, move it to your brokerage firm.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing you have to be careful of when moving money around like this is, you know, taxes. And Jack, you mentioned if a person takes their RMD and they want to convert some of their money from an IRA to Roth, well, that can't count as the RMD either.
Not at all.
It has to actually come out and not go into another type of retirement account. So you have to be careful of those moves too, and you need to make sure you meet your required minimum distribution if you're over age 70, and make sure that you meet it in the right way. And you don't have to take it, as Jack mentioned, in cash. We want to emphasize that. You can, if you have a good investment there and you want to keep it, you can just move that investment on out, the number of shares that equal the amount of your RMD, and then you'll be set for the year.
Yep. I mean, that's it. So, you know, you want to make sure that you check the right box, because every firm, when you're doing one of these rollovers, it has a box. Is it a trustee to trustee transfer? Is it a rollover? It's important you do that. If you check the wrong box, and it says rollover and you've done two, you're in trouble. You're actually in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
People forget about that. So, you know, you just want to make sure that you deal with somebody who understands these rules. A simple mistake has consequences when you or the broker check a box on your form that's inappropriate.
Well, listeners, we're getting towards the end of our show here. We want to thank you for listening to WHTC Money Matters. Our next week's show on August 9th is going to be estate planning with Mary Jo Borman. Mary Jo is going to be a special guest on our show, going to be willing to answer your calling questions. So as you think ahead to that show and you have questions in regards to your will, your trust, your estate, a deed on a property, you know, think about those questions and have them ready to call in. The number is 395-1450. If you have questions that came up during the show, and since this is not a live show, you want to call our office number is 931-1223. And listeners, we want to thank you again for listening. Stay tuned for a show next week, Estate Planning with Mary Jo Borman. You've been listening to WHTC Money Matters with Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey. Everybody have a good weekend.
For listening to WHTC Money Matters with Jack Godfrey and Carrie Cooley from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group of Zeeland. Join us next week for WHTC Money Matters on 1450 WHTC, Holland's news leader.